This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I interrupted you, Philip. Would you continue?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, Eddie, I've spoken to Eddie as well, but Irina did the main interview with him, and he still has material of his father's, and because one of the things we were short of with both gentlemen was photographs, so Eddie has a box of photos, but what he does have, and we're trying to get our hands on it, is a box of VHS videos that belong to his father, and he's no idea what's on them, because he has nothing to play them on. So, you know, for example, I have the audio of Eddie Hickson on the Dick Cavett show, but we can't find the video. So I'm hoping that in these box of VHS tapes, there might be something like that lying around. But just give you an example before we go into some of the other witnesses. Irina and I had literally just finished the book, and it was uploaded, ready to go. And in early August, I was contacted by a lady called Chelsea Norton Prince. She runs the Ocean Springs Historical Society. And she had an interest in this case, and they have a Facebook page. And she put a couple of postings on this Facebook page about the incident. And a lady called Bethany Fayard contacted her and said, I have two boxes of letters here that used to belong to Charles Hickson. But she said, my mum and dad bought Charlie Hickson's house when he died in 2011, and this and a lot more stuff was there. She gave that material to Chelsea. Chelsea contacted me to see if I was interested. Of course I was. She then digitized them all in super quick time, and they are all here on a USB stick. And they're a little time capsule, guys. You know, there's no smoking guns in them. But, for example, there is a hand-drawn sketch of the UFO by Charlie. He does a 1 to 20 list of what the creatures look like. So we do it like bullet points today. This is all handwritten, you know. How big was the nose? So many inches. How wide was the chest? You know, 44 inches and so on. And there's a whole range of correspondence in it. A lot of it is to buy Charlie's book and some to buy his record that was out. But there were others, you know, he corresponded, he met Betty Hill, as did Calvin at a later date, so there's correspondence from Betty. But one really interesting thing, I'm rather apt, there is a letter in there from a NASA physicist, and he says to Charlie Hickson, I asked NASA to investigate your case when it happened. And they said, no, we're not interested. You know, and I'm reading this just around about the same time that they recently had the NASA hearings on television saying, you know, they're setting up their own UFO study. So I did email them, but I haven't got a response, of course. But it was just curious. It was just very curious.
You know, when you mentioned before VHS tapes, now, I was looking at eBay as you were talking. I used to have a beautiful Mitsubishi Super VHS deck. Unfortunately, I had no purpose for it anymore. I had sold all my VHS tapes, so I gave it away to somebody. But you can actually get one, I don't know about the condition, for as little as $50. So, yeah. Just saying if you want to try that. Just like I had to look for a cassette deck when I need one of those. Go ahead, please.
Well, yeah, we have to remember as well, you know, between the UK and the US, they are different systems. So you have NTSC, we have something else. So if you sent me a video, I wouldn't be able to play it here or anyway. But we have Chelsea Norton Prince, Ocean Springs, ready to help us, and others have now offered assistance. So if we can get this material and borrow it, we only want to borrow it, we'll copy it and return it, you know, to Charlie Hickson. What we don't want is it to get lost. That's the main thing. And so it'd be interesting to see what they have. And of course, Miss Fayard, when she donated these two boxes of correspondence and other paraphernalia, she said, "I had a lot more than that, but several years ago I gave the rest of the stuff to somebody else," but she couldn't remember who she'd given it to. So we do know factually that there is other material correspondence out there. And it just so happens one of the short TV interviews that Charlie Hickson did was in his bedroom. And guess what? His bed and his dressing table are swamped with correspondence. There's letters scattered everywhere. So we know he had this stuff. It's just, so we're on the lookout for it. Whether we'll ever find it or not remains to be seen. But we don't give in easily, Irina and I can assure you.
What we should be doing here, Irina and Philip, is begin to cover the rest of the story from the original case, all the papers and you've gotten everything, but can we start to lead into the fact that Hickson and Parker were not alone to have a strange encounter back then?
Absolutely. I mean, what happened was when Calvin's book came out in 2018, a local journalist called Karen Nelson arranged a visit. Karen was very skeptical, and she wrote an article called "Reinvestigating the Pascagoula Alien Abduction." Of course, she met Calvin, interviewed him in his home, went out to the location where it happened. But what she also did, it was filmed. So not only did she write, you know, a rather long newspaper article about it, she made like a little 6 or 7 minute mini documentary. So when you read the newspaper article online, you could also access the documentary. But somebody much cleverer than me, he downloaded that and put it on YouTube. And I was reading the comments on YouTube one day, and there was one of them, quite a lot, I might add, and it just said, "My mother and father were on the opposite side of the river that night, and they too saw the UFO." So this person, and that was a lady, had used her real name. I managed to locate her on social media, sent her a message, explained who it was, and could we speak to your mum and dad, please? Could you ask them? She came back to you, that Mrs. Maria Blair and Mr. Jerry Blair. And here's their telephone number. So I rang them up and spoke to Maria, Mrs. Blair. And she says, "Yeah, we were on the opposite side of the river that night. My husband was going out on a boat. He was, I think, was an engineer. They helped supply, you know, the oil fields out in the Gulf. And he was just waiting for his captain. You know, the boat was there, but, you know, he was just waiting for his captain. He was late. He wasn't in a great mood. He was trying to have a sleep in the car." And Mrs. Blair said, "Out across the other side of the river is this thing." She called it an airplane to begin with, but she said it flew like no airplane you've ever seen. It was very low. It was blue in color. It zigzagged around. It went up and down the river. And she said, "I knew there was no landing field there. You know, so if it's an aeroplane, there's nowhere to land." And her husband decides that they're going to walk down the pier and put his clothes and everything on the boat. As they're doing so, there is a huge splash in the water next to them. This creature literally jumps up out of the water in front of Maria. She calls it a grey man. She's terrified, of course. She runs like hell. She sees this thing go back under the water, but it doesn't come back up. And she estimates this is about 9 o'clock. Then she leaves the boat, still terrified, and has to run down the pier in the darkness. But now it's 12 o'clock. And she runs back to the car. She goes home. You know, her husband's out at sea for several days. And whilst they have two daughters, they told the two daughters about it. They didn't speak publicly about it. And he said, "Don't tell anyone, they'll think we're nuts." So, you know, as I've done with just about everybody else, I passed these details over to Irina. And Irina will tell you the rest of the story.
Irina, let's pursue that in our next segment as we go beyond reasonable doubt. The book from Irina Scott and Philip Mantle. We'll be talking about it for much of the remainder of the episode here. with Gene Steinberg and Tim Swartz. That means you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is how we do every day.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Irina, give us more details about this case on the other side of the river. I have one question quickly, though. Can you describe in more detail the creature that was seen?
Well, she just describes it as a gray man. She called it a gray man.
So it wasn't like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
She's not at all, no. She calls it a gray man. I've tried to clarify with her. She was terrified. She says, this thing jumped up. She said, I knew it was going to grab me. And she said, I was unconscious straight away. She just calls it an ugly grey man. And, of course, that's what Calvin called these creatures, the big uglies. That was the only way he could describe them. So whether it was the same, I'm not going to say yes or no. That's just the way that those were her words, not mine. Irina might be able to elaborate more. She's done most of the conversation with Mrs. Blair.
Okay. She was the first person I interviewed. And at that time, I didn't have much interest in the abduction at all. I'd been interested in the sounds. And so I didn't have a background. And also, I didn't read much about the abduction because I didn't want to influence anybody. I was afraid if I knew anything about it, I might ask influencing questions or something. And so I didn't have too much background on it. And so I started talking to her, and she described how she was in the car with her husband, and her husband went to sleep, and she saw this thing flying around, and she thought it was an airplane, but there wasn't. It was very low, and just kept not going anywhere. It would just zoom around. And so she thought the pilot must be lost or searching for something or something, and she couldn't figure that out. And then he decided to take his clothes to the ship. And so they were walking down the pier, and he was ahead of her. And he's a skeptic from at that time. I talked to him first, actually, and he said something about a big splash and something about he thought it was a blimp, and then he handed the phone to her, and she started describing sitting in the car and everything. And so anyway, he was walking ahead of her, and she was walking behind him, and this thing flopped up on the pier right in front of her. And she kept saying it looked like a man. And so I would ask her, is it a fish? Is it a dolphin? She said, no, it looked like a man. But she couldn't understand because it went back down the water. It didn't come back up. And she thought it'd have to get air. And so she said something to her husband. He said, oh, that's nothing. And they went on to the ship, and which was around 9. And then she came back about 12. And I wondered about that, why she was on the ship so long. And she was terrified, and she ran back to her car. And so she was very, very, very emotional about this thing that flopped up on the pier in front of her. And we talked and wrote for about 2 years and trying to figure out why she was so emotional. And she had all this emotion, but she didn't have any idea what was going on. And then sometime later, her husband, who had been a strong skeptic and had always told her, don't talk about it and all that, he became very ill, and he probably knew he was about to die. And right before they put him on a ventilator, when they put you on a ventilator, it's a horrible thing, and you can't talk. You have this thing down your lungs and everything. And he told her that they had been abducted. And this was surprising because he'd always been a skeptic. And so he told her that he remembered the things that abducted them and remembered the beings and things, and went into a lot of detail. And told about afterwards he saw them swimming back across the river toward where Charlie and Calvin were. They didn't know that they were there then. And he said he kept his eye on one of them, and he called one of them the doctor, and she didn't know why. But this answered her question, and she said that these things had sort of been waiting for him. And then when her husband said, said to go to the ship, well, they came down and abducted him after they were out of the car. And I think she wanted to explore it further in hypnosis, and nobody did that for a while because her husband had just died, and she was upset about everything. But they wanted to show to sort of prove it, like, and she called Philip and made a video of her husband talking. Then her husband also talked to Philip. So everybody knew that they were sincere. And then later, several years later, she was hypnotized. And she said these beings were interested in her eggs and her DNA. And she didn't remember of them collecting anything like that, but that's what they were interested in. So maybe some more went on that she didn't remember. But she said that they wanted to hybridize or change themselves so that they could live among us and so that they would look like us. And so that's why they were interested in DNA and the eggs. And she talked about that some of the people in the human race aren't real, that maybe they're hybrids now. And that she kept talking about that they are like normal people, and they kept driving, and she kept saying something about driving cars, and I don't know what she was talking about in that. But they hypnotized her, and it went, the hypnosis kept, she talked for quite a while during the hypnosis. And so that apparently seemed to answer some of her questions. But for quite a long time, she had all this emotion, but she didn't have any idea why she was emotional. And then later under hypnosis, she said that this thing that flopped in front of her that immediately got control of her mind. And then she didn't remember too much about it, the abduction and things, but she remembered that it controlled her mind. And then she talked about the eggs and the DNA and that sort of thing. And she kind of worried because her husband had been married several other times, and she was worried about their DNA.
You know, I want to ask something quickly that occurs to me, Irina. First of all, were most of the details of this case recalled during the hypnotic sessions?
No. No.
She didn't know anything about her being abducted. She just had a feeling that something was wrong. And then all she remembered was this thing flopping up on the pier in front of her, and she had all kinds of emotions, but she didn't have any idea what was wrong until her husband said they'd been abducted.
We'll have more. I know Philip has a comment on what Irina just said. So Irina, Jean, Philip, and Tim, you're in
the podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The 40-year-old firearms instructor suspected of killing 18 people Wednesday at two businesses in Lewiston, Maine, was found dead Friday. Robert Card's body was found near the Androscoggin River in Lisbon Falls at 7:45 p.m., according to Maine Public Safety Commissioner. The commissioner said Card had an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. 18 people were killed when Card is believed to have opened fire at a bar and a bowling alley in Lewiston, Maine, on Wednesday night. The United Auto Workers said it reached a tentative agreement with Stellantis to end the union strike against the automaker.
automaker, but it escalated its strike against General Motors after days of marathon talks, walking off the job at a factory in Spring Hill, Tennessee. The Stellantis deal, if ratified by a majority of the automaker's UAW workers, will give employees a 25% raise in base wages over the next 4.5 years, the union said on Saturday. The deal and a similar agreement with Ford on Wednesday give the UAW its biggest gains in years. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Philip, you wanted to jump into what Irina was saying about that particular abduction case. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I mean, like Mr. Blair, Jerry, he was almost making like a deathbed confession. Although it didn't happen over one night, it stretched out somewhat. And when he started talking about it, Maria was as mad as hell. Because when I first spoke to Maria on the phone, she said to me, I often wondered if something similar didn't happen to us, that happened to Charlie and Kelvin. And I said, why do you say that, Maria? She said, I can see little things out of the side of my peripheral vision, but I can't quite make it out. Everything that Jerry told Maria was all recorded before the hypnosis, because Maria's can be difficult to get a hold of. So it would be via Facebook messaging. So we have a copy of it. It's not he said, she said. And it was Maria's request to undergo hypnosis. And we said no at first, because I'd never used hypnosis ever. But then she asked again. I said, well, look, I'll see if I can organize it, but, you know, I don't know. Anyway, a young lady, a professional hypnotherapist called Crystal Slaughter, agreed to do it. It was done at Calvin Parker's house, because Maria had got to know Calvin and Waynette by this time. Calvin had been under hypnosis before, so we could reassure her, and she felt safe there. But what we didn't do is we didn't tell the hypnotherapist anything. All we told her was a date, time, and a location. That was it. And she had no idea what to expect. And we had the session professionally filmed as well, with two separate cameras there. One out and one in. And there's one reel as the video was playing. You see the look on the hypnotherapist's face when Maria starts talking. She had no idea what to expect. So we tried to keep it that way, so we weren't, you know, we can't be accused of leading questions. But the vast majority of what Maria told us was long before the hypnosis. And as Irene has said, Mr. Blair was in the hospital, in his hospital bed. He was sat on his hospital bed with his shirt off, still had the electrodes attached to his chest and the wires, and he insisted on speaking to me from his hospital bed. So Maria had to put him on the mobile phone, and he says, Mr. Mantle. He always called me Mr. Mantle. I lied. He says, I saw the same as my wife did, and I saw the creatures go back across the water. And then he made Maria film that on her phone, and we have that. We have a copy of that film. So it's not, you know, he said, she said, we actually have a copy of him. He was having an operation the next day, and they didn't think he was going to survive it. Thankfully, he did. But it was only, you know, it was only going to protract things a little bit longer, and sadly he died. So it was, in my opinion, a deathbed confession. And I would say, you know, 90% of the information we obtained before any hypnosis. And Maria, you know, all of the hypnosis session is typed out in full in the book, you know, beyond reasonable doubt. And you can make of that what you want, you know. And, but again, people say, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Blair, they came out of the woodwork to get their 15 minutes of fame. Oh, no, they didn't. If it hadn't been for their youngest daughter's comment on YouTube, and had I not seen it, we would never have found out about it. They didn't step forward. They were glad they told the story, but they had no intentions of doing it until I phoned them. And then Aria followed it up. So, you know, I've got a lot of time for the Blairs. And Mr. Blair really didn't want much to do with it, he told us in the end as much as he could under the circumstances. And I think, Calvin, of course, he felt quite elated by it, because it was like, well, I told you so, you know? All you buggers that wouldn't believe me. Now here we have somebody sat in the car on the other side of the river and sees what's going on. He didn't know about their encounter at first. He was just happy that somebody else had seen it. We can no longer call it the Parker Hickson encounter. In my opinion, we have to call it the Parker Hickson Blair encounter. You know, but that's an argument for another day. But yeah, fascinating stuff.
So I can understand why Mr. Blair, thinking that he was going to die, would want to come forward with his story. But did he offer any explanation on why he kept this to himself, despite knowing that his wife was tearing herself up inside, you know, with what happened, and him denying that nothing had happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that came up in conversation very often between them. I can assure you, but he just wanted to protect his family, because they're two young girls, and they hadn't been married that long when this happened, I think. And he just said, I didn't want people to think we were crazy. As simple as that, pretty much like Calvin did, you know? It's a different era compared to today, a much more liberal attitudes to all kinds of things today. That simply would not have existed in 1973. It wouldn't. I don't have to spell it out, but it wouldn't. And it's only when his final days were coming, that you think, well, they can't do nothing to me. And my wife's in her 70s as well, so we really don't give a monkeys. If they think we're nuts now, it doesn't really matter. And so he told her. While he still had the chance, I might add. And he was insistent on phoning from the hospital. I remember getting the call and telling me, Mr. Mantle, you know, I saw what my wife saw. I lied before. I saw, and he called them the humanoids. He didn't call them the grey man. He called them the humanoids. And then it made kind of sense to these little things that Maria thought she saw out of the peripheral vision. It wasn't out of a peripheral vision. When this creature had got a hold of her, she had her eyes closed. And she sneaked her eyes open a little bit to get a look about what was happening. And that's all she could see. You know, she could just make out this creature. Her husband was down the other end of the boat. She could see him. And then she said to put them to sleep. But it was, you know, her eyes were peeping. And you know, that's what she could see. So it kind of made sense to her then. You know, it kind of added up. And she was very emotional in parts under the hypnosis. We've released a couple of, you know, frame grabs from it, a couple of still. Because, again, you know, it was all filmed. And people can make of it what they like. But we've done it because, like with Calvin, God bless him, you know, and others. I mean, the doctor that examined them back in 1973 was Dr. Julius Bosco. Irina interviewed him twice. He's now gone. Captain Glenn Ryder, who was deputy Ryder at the time in 1973, he dealt with Parker and Nixon. He's now gone. So, you know, we want to record these things for posterity, and we can argue about whether they're, you know, evidential later on. But if we don't record them in the first place, they're going to be lost forever. That is the reason why a few weeks later, we put Calvin Parker under hypnosis again. He didn't want it, but we had the opportunity to do it and film it. So we had it filmed, professionally filmed. But there is one little thing that's interesting. By this time, the hypnotherapist knows the subject matter. So I gave her a couple of questions to ask Calvin while he's under hypnosis. First question was, when Calvin's standing on the pier with his line in the river, nothing has happened. You know, he's just watching the world go by. I don't know what fishermen dream about when they're fishing. I've no idea. Just have him describe the scene in front of him. What can he see? And he says, there's the bridge that goes over the river. There's a boat going out. And he even tells me the name of the boat.
We'll continue with that story from Philip Mantle with Irina Scott and Gene and Tim. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So he's describing what he saw, and this is a memory retrieved during this hypnotic session?
Yeah, see, it's right at the very beginning, before anything else, and he says there's a boat going out. He calls it a Noah boat. I think it was N-O-A. H, or N-O-A-A, it was a company acronym on the side of the boat. And he said, you know, and then right at the end of it, he says there's two figures on the opposite side of the river. And that's it. You know, and you, if you weren't listening to it careful, you would miss that comment. So I thought to myself, and I think I actually asked the question in the book, were those two figures, Mr. and Mrs. Blair, were there somebody else? We don't know. You know, we'll probably never know. But it was just curious. He said, oh, there's two figures on the other side of the river. So make of that what you will. And again, you know, the whole transcript is in the book. But he tells the story before. And like I said, Calvin said, hypnosis was okay. But I remembered it all, or most of it all anyway. So it just clarified a few points for him. So, but we had the opportunity. We got the assistance of the hypnotherapist and a professional cameraman, so we thought we'll record it for posterity. And we have, and it's in high quality as well.
Okay, so this is a question that either of you could answer, or both of you can answer if you like. What were the similarities noted between what the Blairs experienced and what Charlie and Calvin experienced? You know, like the type of beings, the shape of the ship, anything like that that may be similar.
The only thing, I mean, Maria says she saw the inside of the ship. You turn it was metallic. And the light was really bright. She said, really bright. Calvin and Charlie said the same. Calvin even said the light just came out of the paint. He's calling it paint because he didn't know what to call it. So the light literally came out of the walls. It was so bright. And I think when the initial incident happened, when this thing was descending, the light was bright, and when this opening appeared, it was really intense. They had to shield their eyes. I think it was Charlie said it affected his eyes a few days afterwards. And because of that, because the light was so bright, it made it difficult for them to estimate the size of this thing. So in the early literature, you'll see three different estimations. That was purely because of the intensity of the light. I think Calvin said it was like a welder's light. If you look at a bright light, you sometimes leave that residue on your retina for a while. It was like that. And that's what Maria said when she peeped open her eyes a little bit, that this light was intense. And she just calls these creatures dark-skinned and ugly, you know. We didn't get chance to interview Jerick, because by the time he started talking to her, he was in the hospital, so it wasn't something we could go into great detail with him personally. But and he said he saw the creatures go back across the river. What Marina's idea, and it's only an idea, was that they were the intended target that night, because they were due to be on that pier at a certain time to go out on that boat. And the only reason they didn't go out the boat on time was because their boss was late. Whereas Calvin and Charlie only made the decision to go fishing that night on the way home from work. And it was Calvin's first day there anyway. So they kind of look upon Charlie and Calvin as collateral damage, if you like. You know, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but she believes that they were in the intended targets, not Charlie and Calvin. And she also had the suspicion that it had happened before, not necessarily to her, but to a husband. And her husband said he was just trying to protect her. That's all he was trying to do, was just try and protect her. Even when saying don't talk to anybody, it was his way of saying, you know, don't tell anybody, they'll think we're nuts. And he's right, you know, he's exactly right. We found other people who didn't have encounters but were there that night as well. And one of them was Mr. Lewis Lee. And again, he's not a man who stepped forward. Calvin Parker had a book signing in Pascagoula. And Mr. Lee, an elderly gentleman, white hair, went up, I'll have a book, Mr. Parker, you know, $20, whatever, sign it. And he's talking to Waynette, and then he says, oh, you know, I saw the UFO that night, and away he goes. So Calvin tells me about this. Luckily for us, somebody was taking photographs, and they have a picture of this gentleman buying the book. So we put it on social media. Within a couple of days, a lady from the library said, I know who that is. I'll ask him if he'll talk to you. And he did. Here, Mr. Lewis Lee, and he was a crane operator in the shipyard. And he says, Philip, I get in the crane in my cab. It's about 10 feet off the ground. You've got a great view. And he says, as soon as I got in it, I see this darn thing. I can't do as a Mississippi accent, gentlemen. I can see this darn thing across the water. And he said, I've never, ever seen anything like it since or before then. And he watched it for quite some time. It was almost, he said, it looked almost like a jewel, a diamond. He could see straight through it at times. And the only reason he took his eyes off it is because somebody from down below was shouting him. And he had to look away and concentrate on what he was doing. And when he turned back and he'd gone. Now, I said to Mr. Lee, did you report this to anybody? And he says, who the hell are you going to report it to? There's no Ghostbusters in 1973, you know. So he said, I told my friends and family, and that was it, you know. Back in 1973, there was criticism, because where the incident happened, gents, he says, not out in the swamps of Mississippi. It's right by Highway 90. The bridge goes over the river. And somebody said, well, nobody on the bridge seen it. Well, no, you should have said, as far as we're aware, nobody has seen it on the bridge yet, hasn't come forward. Anyway, a gentleman did come forward, a Mr. Charles Rusty Lee, driving over the bridge that night with his wife, and he said he watched it for some 30 seconds or more. He said it was down below him. Again, it's a blue-coloured thing. So he said, well, it's so low, it's going to crash. The next day, he went down by the river to visit an aunt, and as he got there, she said to him, you'll never guess what I saw last night. Now, Dr. Scott and I have been consulting on a documentary with a British production company. It's all filmed, it's in the editing stages. They were in the US last year, and they edited Mr. Anderson. Yeah, sorry, interviewed Mr. Anderson. And he put a little post on his Facebook page, being interviewed, you know, for a TV documentary. So I'm reading, again, the comments underneath, and there's a comment from a lady with a completely different name. She said, oh, I saw that thing that night. So I contacted her privately. She said, yeah, I'll talk to you, no problem. Pamela Eiley Eves, I think her name is. It's a three-barreled name anyway. And she was putting the children to bed, and she just happened to be closing the curtains, which, looking that direction, she sees the blue thing. What is interesting is that she was the cousin of Mr. Anderson, so she didn't know he'd seen anything, and vice versa. And I found that, you know, quite assuring. People weren't necessarily blabbing it out to everybody. So here you have cousins who didn't know about each other's sighting. And that was kind of relevant. And these are just a few of the other witnesses that we've managed to find one way or another, or they've stepped forward and Irene has interviewed them.
I wanted to ask you something here which will carry through to the next segment, and that is contemporaneous recollections. These things are coming forward 45, 50 years after the event. What about anything else or related event back in 1973? Is there something in the newspaper? Is there something recorded then? Did these people, any of them, have notes that they wrote during the early period? You know, it's kind of like the Roswell case, where nothing came out until 30 years later. And as you would agree, folks, I think, is that the most accurate reports are the ones done as soon as possible after the craziness went on. And the book is entitled Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Pascagoula Alien Abduction, written by our guests, Philip Mantle and Irina McCammon-Scott, as published by Phillips Flying Disc Press. By the way, our guests will also join us on the After the Paracast podcast. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.